was snowing in Pittsburgh this morning when a highway bridge collapsed on the day President Biden was already scheduled to be there to talk about, well, infrastructure. Remarkably, there were only a few minor injuries. Pittsburgh's mayor, Ed Gainey, a Democrat, says the bridge collapse shows the need for the infrastructure money in the bill the president signed.
You know, at the end of the day, we could have had some serious injuries.
And it was just 2 years ago, or 2 years right. ago, that we had Route 30 collapse just right. a couple of years ago. So another major artery. So
at the end of the day, this is critical that we get this funding.
Biden's trip to Pittsburgh is part of his effort to get out of Washington more as the rest of his legislative agenda remains stalled in Washington. Let's dive into our Friday Politics Roundtable to talk about this and about Biden's Supreme Court pick. Aisha Roscoe is NPR White House correspondent. Rick Klein is ABC News and political director. Hello to both of you. Happy Friday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Aisha, to you first. Biden's poll numbers, of course, are down. His party, if history is any guide, is likely to lose seats in Congress this midterm election. Does getting to pick his first Supreme Court justice give him a chance, a bit of a chance for a political reset, an opportunity to change the narrative?
It gives him a chance to get something done, and it also gives him a very big chance to fulfill a campaign promise. He promised that he would put a black woman on the Supreme Court. He made that promise in particular to James Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, who was pivotal in Biden getting the Democratic nomination. And so he is able with this, because we all know Supreme Court justice nominations and, you know, getting them approved, they suck up all the oxygen in Washington, D.C. Everyone is talking about them. All eyes will be on it. And it's a chance for him to actually get something through Congress and to, you know, fulfill a promise.
Rick, the president said he would announce his nominee within a month. Now, the ideological balance of the court, as we know, is not going to change. Could this mean that this is a lower drama affair this time around?
It's actually possible that we could have a de-escalation in the long-running pitch battles that we've seen over Supreme Court nominees. Not to say that conservatives are going to back down. They'll use it as a fundraising ploy for sure. They'll also use it to put some Democratic senators on record. But you look at the combination of factors, as you mentioned, the balance of the court isn't changing. Democrats have the votes anyway. And we're 9-10 months away from the midterm elections. All of it points in the direction for potential smooth sailing. Now, I know that court nominations can go sideways in a lot of different directions. But to hear President Biden talk about his process yesterday, trying to get the advice of even some Republican senators in addition to ultimately their consent, it's possible that this is a much lower temperature affair than the battles that we've become used to during the Trump era and even during the Obama era.
Aisha, we have talked a lot, and you have talked a lot, about Joe Manchin, the swing Democrat in the Senate who has blocked much of the president's domestic agenda on voting rights, on the so-called Build Back Better bill. But here he is talking to West Virginia Metro News on a Supreme Court pick.
Whoever he puts up will have experience, and we'll be able to judge him off of that. But as far as just their philosophical beliefs, no, that will not prohibit me from supporting somebody.
So if this is the case, Aisha, does this give Biden political space to pick a staunch liberal to the bench?
It gives him some space, and I don't think it's too surprising that Joe Manchin is saying that, because even though Joe Manchin has in some ways emerged as a thorn in the side of the administration, that's on issues like big spending bills, climate change, things of that nature, changing the filibuster, obviously. But when it comes to, you know, like things like picking, you know, a Supreme Court justice, you know, Manchin has been someone who has voted the party line. Like, he hasn't always been the person gumming up the works. So I don't think that's that surprising. I do think that the administration will want to get someone who is very experienced. And you look at Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was confirmed by the courts or confirmed by the Senate just last year. I would have to think that looks pretty attractive since she was confirmed with three Republicans as well.
On the Republican side of the Senate, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell famously blocked former President Obama's nominee Merrick Garland from even getting a hearing in an election year. Here's what McConnell said about this time.
So, look, I'm going to give the president's nominee, whoever that may be, a fair look and not predict on today when we don't even know who the nominee is, how I might vote.
At the same time, McConnell said in a statement, quote, the president must not outsource this important decision to the radical left. We mentioned that the ideological balance on the court won't change. But if the Republicans wanted to, Rick, could they torpedo Biden's pick?
Almost certainly not. Not by themselves. The 50-50 right. Senate means Kamala Harris as the vice president is the tiebreaker. McConnell's tune would be a lot different if he right now was the majority leader instead of the minority leader. And it may be because he knows he may be the majority leader soon that he's saying that. Now, spoiler alert, I do not think that Mitch McConnell is going to vote for Biden's pick. Almost certainly. I just don't see it. But there may be a couple of his members that do. And he might actually be okay with that because it doesn't change the balance of the court. And as to the point about outsourcing, it is rich coming from McConnell, given how former President Trump essentially outsourced his list to the Federalist Society, the conservative group that looks at judiciary nominees, and picked from a list quite literally. But regardless, I don't expect that this is going to be back to the days where you could get 90 or even 80 votes like Justice Breyer did in confirmation. But I don't think McConnell is going to throw down everything he can to try to stop this. And the bottom line is he almost certainly can't, even if he wanted to.
So, Aisha, back to you. I mean, what's your bet? Do you think Biden has a good chance of getting quick action in the Senate without lots of political drama? What's your view?
You know, it's hard to make a bet in Washington. But I think that if there was something that could get done quickly, this is the sort of thing that likely could. But there are, as always, there are caveats, right? Like, as long as, you know, they pick someone who has been vetted, someone who has experience, not someone totally unexpected. And as long as nothing comes up in that process, right, of going through, you know, the record of the person and everything that they've said, whoever does get chosen, I think that it is possible. And what the Senate has said, Democrats in the Senate have said they want to get this done in about a month, just like with Amy Coney Barrett. They want to follow that motto. I think it is possible.
Okay, let's turn to foreign policy now. On Russia's threat to invade Ukraine, the president is ramping up his response, moving from diplomacy toward potentially moving American troops to Eastern Europe to counter potential Russian aggression. Rick, is there a political dimension to this that Biden might get a foreign policy bump, as it were? We know his poll numbers are low.
There are still bipartisan rumblings around a sanctions package and about a response. But I also think it's worth noting there's deep Republican divisions as to how involved, if at all, we should get in this conflict. There's a wing of the party that, including many people loyal to former President Trump, who think that it's a mistake to risk any kind of American blood or treasure in a conflict that doesn't directly involve us. So you could see Biden actually in the middle of different wings of the Republican Party. I think, it's a tense time. It's hard to say how it's going to end. We haven't seen any significant de-escalation yet. But there's an area around foreign policy that's traditionally been something that Joe Biden is more comfortable in. It allows a president more flexibility than some parts of the domestic agenda. And I think depending on how it's handled, how it's judged, it could begin to move the needle a little bit. Look, Joe Biden needs some wins. I think if he can stare down Putin and win, that's a big benefit.
And Aisha, Rick mentioned Republicans to some degree being split on this issue. How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, some of this is a product of the time that we're in, where you do have these very conservative voices, like, you know, commentator Tucker Carlson, actually, you know, being sympathetic towards Russia. And you saw the start of this during the Trump administration, where you had Trump, who at least when it came to rhetoric, was very sympathetic to Russia. And that is not traditionally what conservatives and Republicans have been or where they have stood when it came to Russia. So I think that you're seeing some of that split and some of it may come from, you know, just ideological and the fact that you did have a former president in Trump who was not as vocally against Russia as you had in the past. And also the idea that the U.S. has been in a lot of wars and that has fallen out of favor, and the idea that the U.S. should not, you know, be as aggressive on the world stage as it has in the past.
So lots of focus on Russia, on the Supreme Court. But Rick, very quickly, in just a few seconds that remain, any chance for Biden and the Democrats to salvage their legislative agenda in 2022? Voting rights, social programs, semiconductor investments? What do you think?
The votes just aren't there now, but winning begets winning. And I think the Supreme Court nomination gives the Democrats an opportunity to remind themselves of where they're Democrats, begin to establish some unity. Realistically, very little of the agenda seems plausible right now, but you never know what it looks on the other side of a big victory, if that's what they get.
Victory begets victory. I like that. Rick Klein, ABC News political director, and Ayesha Roscoe, NPR's White House correspondent. Thank you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.